Hello, Entropia. This is Mindstar 9, and I'm really excited about the interview I have on tap for you today. One of the goals I have for Mindstar Media is to showcase businesses within Entropia Universe with the sole purpose of presenting possibilities with regard to not only running a business in EU, but also what it takes to achieve a level of success in doing so. I'm just about jumping out of my chair here because I was able to hogtie a couple of my longtime friends from down under and get them to meet up with me to answer a few questions about their long-running business in EU. Well, maybe more than just a few questions, but they're up for it, so let's get this show started. In the MSM recording studio today, I have two of the craziest guys I've ever had the pleasure of calling friends. They are both from the Southern Fortress Engineering Society and have been part of the SFE armor crafting business within EU for quite a few years now. And I'm going to pick their brains about what it takes to even consider developing a business within Entropia Universe. First, we have Tim Unleashed Karen. Not sure what the unleashed part means, but I'll be sure to ask. Tim is the CEO of Southern Fortress Engineering, and we'll get more on that in a bit. Then we have Jim Ewok Morris, and he's the logistics guy of the operation. Welcome to both of you, and thank you for agreeing to spend time with me to give us an inside look at how SFE and your armor crafting business in EU has evolved over the years.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It certainly is. It's been a long time coming, and really been looking forward to doing this.
Awesome. Okay, I have a list of questions for you, so let's tackle these one by one and see what we can learn about the business of Southern Fortress Engineering. We already know your names and your specific roles. If you would expand on that a little bit. Jim, if you would talk about your logistics, what that entails.
Yep, certainly. My position as the logistics guy for Southern Fortress is that it's my responsibility to gather all the materials and ingredients that we need in order to actually bring the armor to the Entropia Universe. It also entails me doing all the marketing, or most of the marketing these days, as there is only just the two of us now.
Okay, what's the origin of your avatar name?
Well, Jim Morris is actually my real life name. I decided that with Entropia Universe being involved with a real monetary economy, then because I'm dealing with real money, I felt that it would be best to use my real name. Because in doing so, I'm actually entrusting a certain level of confidence in the people that I interact with. So I'm giving them, you know, personal information about myself to hopefully make the relationship that much more secure. The Ewok is an old gaming tag of mine that goes back to Day Dot, from the first time I ever got involved in online gaming, back in the days of things like Doom and Duke 3D, all the way up to modern games that I occasionally play, like World of Tanks. So it's been a very long running gamer tag for me.
Oh, cool. Tim, if you would, let us know what Unleashed means first and what's the origin of your name, and then expand a little bit on your CEO duties with SFE, if you would.
Okay. Unleashed, it's a similar thing for me. It's just something from ages ago. It actually came about, must have been about 2004 or something, when I was actually creating an account on the Australian Stock Exchange website just to dabble in some shares, and it asked me what my username to be, and I decided on that day that I was not going to be constrained by the norms of the world anymore, and I meant it so much I was going to put it in my name, and so I made myself Unleashed, and I guess it's just stuck since then, and ever since then I've just never been quite sure whether it sounds daggy or whatever, but that's who I am now, I guess.
Well, I guess it adds a little bit of a mystery to your name, because it might make people think, you know, exactly what it means. What's now the mystery behind Unleashed?
Okay. And the Tim Karen bit, that's my real name, same as Jim, except it kind of didn't quite happen for the same reasons. Basically, when I started playing Entropia, Jim and Nico Fantastic Holm, were both playing, and they got me into it, and it was just a logical conclusion. They just said, hey, use your real name, and I went, yep, well, that's who I am. So I just basically followed what they'd done.
And what are your duties with regard to being CEO of Southern Fortress?
Wow, where to begin?
Oh, I can imagine.
I guess the chief duty I have is to craft all the armor. And these days that actually involves flying between Calypso and Arcadia probably once or twice a week. Jim, as the logistics guy, checks the armor stocks, and we have a spreadsheet. We have quite a complicated series of spreadsheets, actually, that we use. So it's quite easy for me to see when new armor is needed, and I just make the call whenever there's enough of it to warrant bothering to log in and craft. I'll fly wherever I need to fly and craft it, and if necessary, fly back and drop it off. Or whatever. So that's the bulk of the time I spend on SFE. That's actually these days the result of having pretty efficient systems. There's not much else I need to do. The spreadsheets do the rest for us. Basically all the other little bits and pieces tend now to fall into Jim's purview. So once a month we just look at our spreadsheets, and we send out a monthly price guide, and just check the numbers and how the business is going, make sure we're not doing anything stupid, and that's basically me in a nutshell now. But that's actually after many years of hard work getting it to the point where that's all it is. My job for the first kind of 5 years or so was Jim might be better at answering this, actually, what he's observed of me doing, but it felt like my job was basically to drive this thing forward and build it into what it is today. I had a vision, and I kept sharing that with the guys and kept getting their feedback on it. And, we built this together. It's not just me. I guess I felt like I was the one cracking the whip.
Oh, okay. While I have you talking here, when was it that you joined Entropia Universe and created your avatar?
Okay. For me, it was 15th of June, 2006. That's when I first created mine, which is a couple of years after Jim. He and Nico were already in the game first.
Okay. Jim, when did you start your... Oh, I'm sorry. I interrupted you there, Tim.
No. Go. Jim, when did you start?
I started on the 20th of December, 2004. So I've actually got an anniversary coming up very, very shortly.
Yes, you do. I would say in 3 days here, or more, 3, 4... 5 days somewhere in there.
That's five where we are.
My math is bad. Sorry, guys. Well, that's good. You started, let's see, December. 4 months, not even.
Oh, four.
4 months, maybe 3 months or so before I did. 4 months, I guess. I started April 2nd in 2005, so not too far after you, Jim.
So does that make us all antiques or vintage or something?
I guess. No, you know what it does? Not antiques or vintage. It makes us veterans. That's what it is.
Veterans. That's the word I was looking for.
Yes, we are Entropia Universe veterans and proud of it.
Yep.
All right, let's go on to the next question. If you would, give me a little history about how the two of you met.
Oh,
Jim,
boy.
You start with
I certainly will. Well, to be honest, for Tim and I meeting, I solely blame Nico. It was fantastic all the way. Nick and I had been friends for many years by the time Tim came into the mix. And it was actually when Van and his wife were looking to buy their first home that they got introduced to this maniac, and who was a mortgage broker. And... over their interaction, Van realized that Tim was just as unhinged as the pair of us were, and so it was pretty much a natural conclusion that we'd all get introduced to one another at some point. And pretty much the three of us have been inseparable ever since.
I actually
What?
remember that. I
Do
remember
you?
when.
What a great story. Yeah, what did expand on that, Tim.
I remember, now that Jim mentions it, I remember the moment when I realized Nico realized I had become unhinged. I'd gone to see them once as a mortgage broker. I'd gone to their house. That was back at Nico's parents' house, actually. It was back before he and Verica had bought their block and built their house. I went around there and was all very professional, presented it to them, did the right thing by them, gave them their options and everything, and did my job. And at some point in there, they must have worked out, hang on, this guy's not just all professional, there's something under the surface. And then, like, the next time I went to see them again, Nico basically just started out asking me questions like what sort of music I like and everything, and it totally actually caught me off guard, because I wasn't clients don't normally do that sort of thing, and normally they're buying a house. It's pretty much the most important thing to them. They're not really thinking about anything else when the mortgage broker's coming around, except maybe the kids yelling in the background or something like that. But Nico was just totally cool and just started asking me all sorts of questions about myself, my fiance at the time, etc. And I was telling him, oh well, I pretty much like all different types of music as long as it's not crap, And it just went from there. And he goes, you got to meet my mate Jim and blah blah blah. And then yeah, he set it up and now we're all mates. I've been for years now.
What a great story. Well, I know the two of us have, or the three of us actually, you guys have, we've been friends for quite a long time, and you've been very supportive of my efforts within Entropia Universe over the years. So I'm very, very grateful for that and appreciate it. Next question I have both of you always been a member of Southern Fortress Engineering, or did you belong to any other societies along the way, or even before SFE, rather?
Yes, and technically yes to belonging to other societies as well. When Nick and I were first involved in Entropia, I started a society under the name of the Oxymorons, and it was just a progression really of a gaming clan I'd been running for quite a number of years up to that point. So whilst it was technically a different society to SFE, SFE actually was the Oxymorons renamed when we decided to run the business in a serious venture. So basically, the answer to both is yes.
Anything you want to add to that, Tim?
Actually, I was just wondering whether Jim's still an oxymoron
Funny
or
thing is, I think I remember that name actually.
Oh, really? So when was that,
Yeah.
2005 or so?
Yeah, way back when.
Right.
Sounds
Yeah, would have
very
been around
familiar.
then.
Yeah. Yes, I
Because
remember.
we would have got on the team HOF table once, possibly twice, over that time. So yeah, we would have been out and about.
Right. Yeah,
Were
there,
you?
when we were actually, sorry.
No, that's okay. Go ahead, Tim.
When we were actually trying to form SFE, I remember we actually spent a fair bit of time throwing names around and trying to decide whether to write a constitution and that sort of thing. And we talked about but calling ourselves the Forge, or we came up with Armageddon's Fury and things like that. But in the end, when it came down to it, Southern Fortress Engineering was actually the only one in a huge long list that all of us were actually happy to go, okay, fine. It's funny looking back on that to think how little it actually matters what the name was. Just once everyone gets to know it, it doesn't really matter what it is anymore. It's just part of who we are.
Yeah. Well, when I think of you guys, or when I think of, or when I see Southern Fortress Engineering, I always think of you guys. I mean, there's, it's a no-brainer. Who founded Southern Fortress Engineering and when?
I guess that's probably a question for me. Yeah, okay, so right at the beginning when I was first talking to Nico, I actually asked him at one point why he had hyphen PE at the end of his email address. And he said, oh, that's Project Entropia. That was back in the days before it changed names to Entropia Universe, of course. And I remember him just explaining the concept to me. And so this is back in what, mid two this would have been mid 2006, and I just I guess I just got addicted to the whole concept of it before I'd even seen the game at all, just from him explaining it to me. I remember just going, wait, so you can actually like draw the money out again, and you can actually like run a business in there. You can trade with people. It's real. Mm-hmm. And he's going, yes. And I'm like, so can you actually make money playing this game? And he said, well, yeah, I mean, it's not a get-rich-quick scheme, but, you know, if you do the right things and you're patient, you can. And I went, oh, my God. And I remember going back to my fiancé that night saying, I'm about to start playing a computer game that might take me up a lot of time. And I wasn't really much of a gamer before that. And Entropia just basically became my game after that. I wasn't really interested in much else. Which, in a roundabout way, the answer to your question, who founded SFE, I was, before I even started playing the game, I was already thinking, how can I run a business in here? How can I learn how to manage a business in an environment like this where I can play with real cash economies and that sort of thing? And at that stage, I was really just starting out on my own personal quest to learn a lot more about running businesses, and this just seemed like an awesome opportunity to learn and have fun and play games at the same time. So once Jim and Nico had taken me around a fair bit and helped me run away from hundreds of Xarasaurs and Dokebas, work out how to use the space bar to stop moving the mouse around when I wanted to and that kind of thing, which actually took a while. Once I got kind of through being a complete noob, I started playing around with crafting and got hold of some Rascal Limited blueprints, and eventually I just got three of my best mates together, Nico, Jim and Hawkwing as well, and said, guys, why don't we start a business together? Why don't we, you know, no one's crafting any of these armors. Why don't we start crafting these armors? And they were all on board. And so we took it from there. All four of us got together and did it. So all four of us founded SFE.
Awesome.
For sure.
Excellent. Jim, you have anything you want to add to that?
No, not really. Tim's pretty much covered the entire thing. The only bit really to sort of add in there is where Hawkwing came into the mix. Hawkwing's a very, very good friend of Tim's from way back in the day. So he was introduced into the mix sort of, I wouldn't say late on in the piece, but sort of late on in regards to the relationship between Tim, Nick and myself. But he's become part of the group and is just as inseparable as any of the rest of us now. But it was pretty much all that needed to be done was that we needed to sit down, debate things at length, work it all out, the fine details of who did what, and sort of putting together what we wanted the structure of the company to be and how we were going to attack things, and went from there. It just took off running, really.
Oh, well, that's good. And I'd like to get a little bit more into that in a little bit. So I take it that both of you are original members of SFE along with the other two. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yep.
Right.
You want to add a little bit to that, maybe, Jim?
Yep. As it's been made reasonably clear now, there were four of us originally. Tim, myself, Fantastic and Hawkwing. Time's moved on, obviously, since then, and some of us have moved on to, you know, into new jobs, both in real life and also in the virtual sense. But we all keep in contact, and we all sort of support one another and bounce ideas off one another as time goes on. And Tim and I really wanted to sort of keep our hands in. We all did sort of talk about selling out at one point, but Tim and I had really sort of become attached to SFE in a fairly emotional sense. And we wanted to sort of push on once the new planets and that came in. And so as a consequence, we bought the other two out.
So are you saying selling out the business? And not selling out as avatars, right?
No, not selling out as avatars, but actually selling the business as a
gotcha.
Whole structure.
Okay. See, when we hear the word selling out, we think an individual is selling out.
Just pack out.
I just wanted to make that clear. So it was, you had thoughts of actually selling the business, but then you and Tim decided to hang on to it and see what you could do with it.
Yep, very much so.
Excellent. Did you have anything to add to that, Tim?
Yeah, I guess in terms of selling the business, what we really thought about was there wasn't really, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not really too aware of a precedent in Entropia where someone has built a business from scratch and then gone on to sell it for some value down the track. And that was a pretty interesting thing to, I guess, to, you know, I personally wanted some experience at doing something like that, and it hadn't been done before. So we toyed with it quite seriously, just kind of what it would take to get it to the point where someone would want to buy it off us. You know, what sort of things we would need to fix. You know, how efficient the systems would need to be. How many people the buyer would think it takes to run the business, and so on. And so, I guess I recall toying with that pretty seriously. We talked about it a fair bit, but in the end, we just did that internally. We actually did do a very careful valuation of the business, tried to work out what it was worth between all four of us, and eventually we all agreed, and Jim and I used those figures to buy the other two out, literally just bought their half of the business off them. So I guess it was a bit of a defining moment for me, as Jim says, being emotionally attached to SFE. I'm not really sure that the others really quite felt the same to them. It's been, Jim, you can probably comment on this as well, but it's been a great ride. But I guess I'm personally just quite emotional about the idea of building businesses and setting myself financially free. That's just who I am. And
that's not a bad thing.
I'm proud of it.
Yeah, you should be. That's great.
And it was a defining moment because it was the first time I'd ever built a business that, or been involved in building a business, I should say, that was then being valued and being purchased. And I was backpacking through the Balkans at the time with Hawkwing. We spent about 7 weeks going through quite a few countries there, seeing all sorts of new cities and so on, and meanwhile debating what to do about SFE and the fact that he was ready to move on. But it worked out well. We're all still mates. We're all still very good mates, and everyone's happy.
Excellent. That's the best outcome by far. My next question is, has your primary activity in Entropia had then always been crafting, or what other activities have you guys engaged in? Jim?
We both hunt when our time permits. Myself, I've dabbled in mining and even sort of thrown the odd peck or two at the crafting machines over the years, but mainly my activities in Entropia these days revolve around trading and material acquisition for SFE. Unfortunately, the amount of time I get to spend in Entropia these days has been vastly reduced because of my real life job. Mm-hmm. I spend, you know, the best part of most of my days in an operating theater, so as you can imagine, I can't flip the laptop out and log into EU whenever the idea sort of passes, because I'd probably get some rather strange looks from some of the other staff, really. But
you probably would.
Yeah, but we've got Fiona that gives us a hand running the shops and the booth on Arcadia now, while I handle stuff on Calypso, and then Tim pretty much flies between the two of us.
Who is Fiona, if you wouldn't mind telling us who she is?
Fiona is a friend of Hawkwing's who we briefly introduced into the game pretty late in the piece, really, once Arcadia had started. And he sort of jumped in there and had a bit of a play around and liked it and decided to stay on Arcadia. And so because she's on Arcadia all the time and I spend most of my time on Calypso, she volunteered to help us out, and she sort of keeps an eye on things over there. And so it means that we have a lot more freedom in running SFE, so that only Tim really needs to fly back and forth.
Oh, well, that's good. Is Fiona part of SFE then? A member of SFE?
Officially, if you look at the society roster, you'll see her there as a department manager.
Okay.
So whilst she is sort of officially under the SFE flag, as far as the society is concerned, She's not sort of actively involved in the actual business, apart from just sort of letting us know when things have sold and restocking the shops for us.
Oh, okay. Tim, you have anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, basically she serves as a material and armor mule, I suppose. If they were illegal, I guess we'd call her a mule. But it just helps to have an avatar on both planets, Fiona on Arcadia and Ewok on Calypso, because it means I don't need to be anywhere in particular, just wherever I can go to craft. So I just fly between as needed, and whoever to log in is whoever to whichever computer to receive stock as needed, and so on. So yeah, as far as our primary activities are concerned, it really is SFE these days. That's pretty much it. I mean, we do tend to go hunting maybe a couple of times a year, I guess. But
oh, okay. You know,
That's about it, and you know, I'm constrained by time the same way Jim is. We run our business, and we're involved in the community to the extent that we can be. But yeah, I'd love to go hunting more, but SFE takes priority. We're trying to deliver a service to the community, and that's always been important to us. And that, you know, that comes first. Whenever you have time to log in, that's always the first thing we think of.
I can absolutely identify with that, and know that it really takes a great effort when you're providing a service to the community. One of the things I'd like to know, and I'm sure the community would be interested in knowing, is how was the business model for SFE developed? Tim?
Ooh, I'm going to let Tim feel this one. Him speaky business talk a lot more gooder than me.
Okay.
PE ratios in capitalism and stuff. There we go. Right. Well, the business model for SFE developed from right back when I was first playing around with Rascal and realizing that people weren't really making crafted armors available. I mean, there was a bit. There was the popular ones, the ones that people could easily profit on. Ghost, for example. But there were so many that you just couldn't get hold of. And, well, you can now. And we've changed that, I think. And that's what I wanted to do. It seemed to me that if we could address that, then there was the potential to have a sustainable business. What I didn't want to do was start an unsustainable business. I didn't want to just craft armor as cheap as possible and give it away to people, because I knew that if we did that, eventually we'd run out of money and wouldn't be able to do it anymore. And that just seemed from the start to be a rather pointless exercise. So we decided, we all talked about it and decided the best way to go forward would be to set our prices based on the cost to actually craft the armor. In some cases, that means our price is actually more than it goes for in the market, and in some cases it means our price is less. A good example of the price being less would be Ankytus, the one that we happily beat Kiki Jiki for in the auction there. If you're there listening, Kiki, thanks for letting us win.
that was some auction war right there. That was exciting to follow. Lots of fun.
It dragged out for ages too, didn't it?
I know. It made for some interesting reading. Sorry, Jim.
Sorry, I didn't mean to butt in there, but I don't know about fun, but it was bloody stressful. I know that.
It was great.
But yeah, with Ankytus, we checked the market prices before we published our own prices and found that basically a suit of Ankytus was going for about 60 or 70, I think, paired more than the price we'd worked out, and we went, great. so our prices are lower. As a result, we're just happy to do that. And the reason for that is that if we get back what it costs us to craft the armor, then we're still here tomorrow. And if we global, great. We can invest that in more blueprints, more shops, that sort of thing. And that's pretty much how we work. So if you walk into our shop and you see a suit of armor that looks too expensive, then if it is too expensive for you and the ability to walk in and buy a whole suit at once isn't convenient enough to justify that price, and someone else is prepared to sell it to you for cheaper, then great. Our business doesn't have any particular niche to fill there, but We do have a particular niche to fill. It's just not quite that. It's people who do like the ability to walk into a shop and just buy a suit of armor. It's for people that would rather just do that than craft it themselves. It's for armors where there isn't much availability and that kind of thing. So, yeah, really developing the business model was about making sure that we were going to be here for the long term. And I guess that was the right thing to do because 6 years later we're still here.
The model, it's working.
Yeah. And we spent a lot of time in the early days working out what those prices should be. And it's quite difficult to just the sheer volume of data you need to kind of record and analyze to work out how much it actually does cost you on average on the long haul to make this stuff. Entropia is pretty dynamic.
You did not say that.
And so are our prices. There you go. That should be our motto, Jim.
I'm having nothing to do with that word that you just used.
All right, let's move on here. But let me ask you this. What did it take for you to establish the business at the outset, and what were your initial goals? I think you've pretty much touched on a few things here as we've gone along, but maybe expand on that. What did it take for you to really get started with SFE?
To be honest, I really can't put my finger on an actual figure. Of what it actually took money-wise to get SFE running, but it really wasn't a hell of a lot. I mean, when you compare it to running a business in the real world, it was an absolute pittance in comparison. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit hard to I would say we probably spent less than a tenth of what we would have doing the same sort of thing in the real world. But we deposited between the four of us enough to buy our first shop in Port Atlantis Mall. And not long after that, another one in Twin Peaks Mall, at which point it really took more effort really in the way of hammering threads on EF, which later became PCF.
You're talking about Entropia Forum and now the Planet Calypso Forum, yes?
Yes, that's right. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, so hammering the shop thread in there and regularly updating it and sort of getting it, bumping it to the top of the queue sort of thing and getting the visibility up, getting simple ads out on the global system that is provided there for doing such things. Spending time at things like Sweat Camp and doing shout-outs and even going so far as to buy a pet and use it as a mobile billboard displaying our name.
That's right.
Yeah, we tried every conceivable thing that was possible in the system at the time to get our name out there and have people sort of associate us with the idea of crafted armor, so that anytime anybody mentioned something about, oh, where can I get this great looking crafted armor, the next thing on somebody's mind would be, oh, go and have a look at Southern Fortress Engineering. That sort of thing continues on really to this day. It's just constantly making sure that we're out there and being seen, but it thankfully does take a little bit less effort now than what it used to. Because there is enough people out there that are well known themselves that when they drop our name, people do tend to listen. So it's worked well.
Excellent.
Yeah, actually, that makes me realize one of the things that's been important to all of us over the years, just I guess we just all have this in common, is that we value our reputations. And so all four of us just wanted to make sure that we were constantly doing the right thing by people. And it just, I guess it just naturally fitted that's how we all wanted it to be. And as a result, SFE has spent 6 years trying to do the right thing by people, which I guess can involve some pretty extraordinary things sometimes, just going out of our way, doing silly things we probably shouldn't do for people and that kind of thing. But yeah, we're committed.
Excellent. So anything else you want to add to that before I move on?
Just having a think if there's anything we haven't. In terms of initial cost, I guess to just go back to what Jim was saying, it's my recollection of it is that it wasn't that much in terms of actually the business, but to my mind, the business and the real estate are two separate things. So we invested to buy different shops. Excuse me. Those shops are actually still owned by the people that bought them. So in the case of Twin Peaks Mall and Port Atlantis Mall, all four of us still own them. Mm-hmm. In the case of Sanctuary Cove, Jim and I own it. And in the case of Celeste Quarry, actually Jim bought that. And the business, the SFE business, which is an armour crafting business, not a real estate business, rents those premises. So to buy the real estate, I guess, is pretty irrelevant. That real estate may get sold in future if the owners decide or whatever. Luckily, the owners all happen to be pretty considerate of the tenant. But the tenant, Southern Fortress Engineering, really was just a matter of building from scratch. We deposited a bit. We deposited, you know, my recollection of it was depositing $50 to $100, doing a few crafting runs, seeing how it goes, trying to sell the armor. Doing it a few more times and eventually coming to the conclusion that if this was going to be a long-term thing, we needed shops. I think it had only been a few months before we got all four of us together and we bought our first shop. Mm-hmm. And really, it's just been a matter of crafting, selling for a price that's guided by crafting cost, and then when I get lucky with loot, basically, we reinvest that into building the business and buying more blueprints and so on. So I guess, what did it take to establish the business? Blood, sweat and tears and a couple $100.
Yeah, I can imagine that. It's all very interesting. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's a real trip down memory lane, actually being asked all these 6 years ago is actually a long time. And the details in my mind, I'm sure my memory of it is very different to Jim's now, just because of how much time has passed. But yeah, that's my recollection.
That's great. With regard to that question, in thinking in terms really of the initial investment, inventory, shop location, you did give some information about that. Did you talk about the Sanctuary Cove shop at all?
Sorry, yeah,
because I know that you have one there. You have a Celeste Quarry shop or booth. Yeah, I've seen you around there as well.
Yeah, I'm getting ahead of ourselves. Sorry. Yes.
That's okay.
So, at the moment, we have four shops in total. Well, we actually have five. Mm-hmm. We have the two on Calypso, Twin Peaks, and Port Atlantis.
Okay.
We have the shop at the bottom of building number three in Sanctuary Cove. Which is one of the two buildings that are closest to the teleporter, and we've got one of the booths in Celeste Quarry.
Oh, okay.
And our fifth shop is on what was called Club Never Die at the time we bought it, now FOMA, and that's shut. We tried running a business up there for quite a while. After I think it was about 18 months, we eventually decided it just wasn't worth it. There just didn't seem to be enough people running around up there past our shop anyway. But that may have changed, actually. We haven't looked at that for a while. We just basically decided to hold the deed and see what happens.
Oh, okay. My next question was, Calypso was the only planet at the time when you guys started all this, so I wanted to ask what your initial marketing plan was. I think you've answered part of what this is all about, but if you want to expand on this a little bit, I know that you use the global system and you have your shops, and is there anything else that you want to add to this?
Well, part of the plan that we had, once we'd got a couple of shops initially, the plan we had was to market the different types of armor in an area where the clientele would be suitable for them. So if you sort of look at look at our Port Atlantis shop, you would have found the sort of the lower end armors were there, because Port Atlantis was generally where the newer players would hang around, and sweat camp, or the area that most of the sweating was done, was very nearby. So the chances of because I'm selling to an appropriate clientele base was higher if we placed it that way. Whereas sort of the more experienced people, the people that were into their own businesses, veteran players, etc., generally tended to congregate at Twin Peaks. So subsequently, that is where we put our higher end stuff, and the stuff that what we call boutique armors, which is stuff that looks good but might not necessarily have the same sort of top end stats as some, you know, some of the more expensive armors. So we place them in that particular configuration so that hopefully people that were looking for a particular type of armor would know exactly where to go and get it based on what they were looking for.
Hmm. Okay. You have anything to add to that, Tim?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of changed over time. Our range kept growing, and I mean, one of our early goals was always to get to, I mean, this is back at the point where Calypso was the only planet. One of our early goals at that time was to get to the point where we were selling every possible crafted armor in the universe on Calypso. And we're still yet to achieve that. We're pretty close, but there's still a few elusive blueprints. We did manage to put Phantom together about a year ago, I think. And that cost us something like 8,000 to 10,000 PED. So we'd been saving that one for a while because we knew at some point we were going to need to fork out for it. So that was the latest step in developing our range. But we've got a lot of armors now. And getting back to what Jim was saying about the shops, now there's way too much armor to fit in the two shops on Calypso. So we actually we've had to cull down the range that we actually make available in the shops while we save up to buy more item points. And then, yeah, I guess there becomes an optimal point where you don't want too much lag in the shop. You don't want someone to walk in and it takes half an hour for everything to load before they can see anything, you know. It's a balancing act, but as technology continues to improve, I'm sure the situation will continue to get better as well. That's one thing I can say that I've seen with Entropia over the years, is it continues to reinvent itself. MindArt continues to reinvent it, I should say. And a lot of the time with quite a lot of courage, I think. So I'm confident that that will keep happening because I've seen it happening for so long. But yeah, our original marketing plan was to establish a presence, as Jim has said, and really get to the point where we felt like we had a product that was worth promoting, worth marketing, and that product being a service, in this case, a service, the ability to provide crafted armor at fair prices with great reliability and convenience. And so far, it's just seemed most reasonable to just keep reinvesting everything in growing without devoting too many funds to marketing. So it's been more elbow grease, I guess, has been our marketing strategy, working hard at establishing a presence rather than paying anyone to advertise us too much. I mean, we do try and sponsor events and that kind of thing when we can donate armor or pay a small amount for an ad somewhere. But in general, we've been, you know, we reinvest most of what we have into building the business, and that's the reason we have enough stock to enough armor stock and material stock to keep our four shops constantly stocked. What is it, Jim? About 400 or so item points worth of armor?
Probably. Definitely got to be up there in the region of that. I think it's something in the region of 160 item points totally used up in Port Atlantis, and about 190, I believe, in Twin Peaks, and then another 120 over at Sanctuary Cove, and 20 at Celeste Harbor. Celeste Quarry, not Celeste Harbor. And I think the only one that's not the only ones that aren't completely maxed out already are Twin Peaks and Sanctuary Cove at this point in time. But as funds and my personal time allow, that's getting changed around and things shifted to and fro. And yeah, as Tim mentioned before about having so much stuff in the shop that it lags and takes forever to load, as we sort of get hold of things like shopkeepers, for instance, then it means changing the layout of the shops around and having more stock in there, but to a point where it's not going to take forever for things to actually show up when somebody walks in.
I suppose when you take into account the shopkeepers, my 400 was probably quite conservative. It's probably closer to about 600 item points, and that's just in the shops. We'd have at least twice that in storage, ready to restock the shops. Because what's not cool is when someone buys a suit of armor and then we can't replace it straight away, because we have to craft it and we can't get the materials. And that unfortunately does happen for some armors that are just rare. You know, we have a spot on the shelf in Twin Peaks Mall for Phantom, but we can't get Ruggerits quickly enough to actually keep it on the shelf. As soon as we put it up there, it gets bought straight away.
Oh, I can imagine. That's a very popular armor.
Yeah, and there's a few like that. But for the most part, for most of the armors that don't have that problem, we keep a stock in storage on both planets, ready to restock straight away. And it's actually that storage that I then resupply when I craft. And we also have enough of every material in storage, so that when I need to craft, I've got enough there. I don't need to start buying. That's one of Jim's jobs, to make sure I'm stocked up on both planets. That's part of his logistics plan. So I
Do
guess
you have, oh, yeah, I was going to ask, do you have someone mining or supplying the materials in some way?
probably a gym question, I think.
I've actually got a network of people that I've developed over the years who I can go to for various materials, etc. But I mean, as I'm sure all of us are aware, we've lost a few people over the years for various reasons, and so that network is constantly changing. But I also do rely quite heavily sometimes on the in-game auction, especially when I'm looking for some of the rarer items, such as Tim's mentioned, Ruggerits, and things like phasm cloth or phasm wool, for making ultra cold fabric for orca harnesses, and even like metal plating for lich. It can be an absolute nightmare sometimes trying to get hold of materials that just don't seem to be dropping for whatever reason the loot gods have determined. So I've got my network that I've developed over the years, which serves me quite well. And there's some fantastically helpful people out there. And it's always great to get networked with those people, because as we become more successful, they become more successful, and vice versa, and it just sort of ripples out from there.
Oh, that's excellent.
They actually, I'll just add to that. After I've cleared my throat, sorry. That they are fantastic people, and they need to be, because we can't, often we can't just offer them, yeah, we're going to buy 10,000 of this off you every month or something like that, because I'm not just sitting there all day doing massive crafting runs and churning through the materials. I actually only craft what I need to restock the shops. So it's a few clicks of this, a few clicks of that, and I'm done, kind of thing. So someone who wants to supply us might have a whole lot more than we can ever buy, and unless they actually come along at the right time, we've already bought it in auction anyway because we needed it and that kind of thing. So the people that do stick around and do supply us are very patient people, and we try to look after them as well. We just happily pay market price when people bring us things we need, because it's totally worth it, because that allows us to deliver our service. It's a small
Absolutely.
price to pay.
With regard to the armors, what armors did you start with and why? And also, what determined what additional armors to add along the way? I think you mentioned that you basically started with Rascal. Is that correct?
Yeah, I still have a screenshot back in the old version of the Rascal thighs, the first Rascal thighs I crafted. I remember being really excited about it and sending it around to the guys. I did it, guys, because I think we'd paid. I seem to remember recall paying like 2,000 PET or something for that blueprint, the unlimited one. And sadly, none of the other ones have ever shown up. Well, we certainly haven't been able to get hold of them. So, still can't sell Rascal Unlimited, unfortunately. You can get thighs from us, but that's about it. So, when we talk about Rascal, it's Rascal Limited. And yeah, we did a lot of that. And that was where we actually got a lot of our data from. Rascal and Warrior were two armors we did a lot of runs on to collect data and understand how it all works.
Well, I can tell you that when I first started in Entropia Universe, my brother had been JetBoy. He had been playing for a month and said, you got to check this out. So he was kind of like, even though he was newbie himself, he was kind of like my mentor. And when I came into the game, I never had Pixie. He started me off with Rascal Armor. He was so generous, and he gave me all this equipment and armor, and I liked the Rascal Armor because it was white and it just looked too cool, and It was so much fun. Jim, you have anything to add with regard to the types of armor that, or what you started with and what the progression has been since then, and give me some of the armors that you do craft? Or Tim, you want to expand on that further, both of you?
Right. Jim, you go first.
Yep. Well, as Tim said, we started off, Tim started off experimenting with Rascal, with the Rascal Thighs blueprint, and then we sort of picked up the ones that were easily available. I mean, anyone that looks in an auction at any time of the day will see there's always the sort of the same low-level ones sort of pop out. And are made available to other players to buy in the auction. So we picked up those same ones and crafted and looted others and sold them on or kept them depending on what they were. So we got pretty much all of the low-level stuff fairly quickly, like Pioneer, Guardian, Warrior, Explorer, and other ones like that. And then, of course, the limited stuff like Predator and Lunar and Semmer and so forth popped up when Mindark brought those into the system. So we were very quickly jumping on the bandwagon where those were concerned, because they were the new shiny limited armors that had come out. So they were in reasonably high demand in the early days, and we just continued to expand the range from there as new stuff came out, like Lich and Spectre. We snapped up the unlimited blueprints as quick as we could so that we could provide those ranges on to our customers, and it's basically the same sort of setup continues to this day. I mean, as Arcadia came into the system, we've done exactly the same thing over there. And so anyone that goes to our Sanctuary Cove shop will see that we've got, I think, the first six or seven, I believe, armors in that range that we've steadily collected the unlimited blueprints for since they've been out, so that we can continually provide that service to the community.
I have one question. With regard to armor, do you now have a complete set of blueprints for the Aquila armor?
MS9. No. Still no.
No.
In fact, what happened today, Jim? We got it back down to 3, didn't we?
Yes, I believe so. We did have the Aquila blueprints that have been made available so far are still limited, unfortunately. There doesn't seem to have been any unlimited ones dropped in the system at all as yet. And until today, we were able to craft arms, helmet, harness, feet, and thighs. But after doing a run today, we can no longer make arms because we only had 3 clicks available on the blueprint that we had.
Now, these are limited blueprints?
They are limited blueprints, unfortunately, okay. Which has its own problems that come with limited blueprints. Unfortunately, until the great god Lutius decides to smile upon us, we will not be able to field the complete set of Aquila armor.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, MS9. Mm-hmm. Apologize. Okay. We want to.
You do.
We would be.
Are you there? Something happened here. Are you there, Tim?
I am here. I can hear you.
Okay, something happened with the sound, and I didn't hear you talking anymore. Jim, are you still there as well?
As you hear, boss.
Okay, continue, Tim. Something must have happened on your end then with the microphone.
Yeah, I've no idea why. I was just sitting here minding my own business, and it. Yep, maybe that was Lutius, Jim.
Oh, it could have been.
Just ragging me. Aquila, yes, I hope Arcadia Studios is aware of this. If not, Dave, we want Aquila Unlimited blueprints to drop, please. Because yeah, we'll certainly be bidding on them or whatever.
We might have another auction war on that.
Ideally, then we could face off with Kiki again. Well, ideally, I'd just loot them while I'm crafting something nominal like Muska or Canis or something.
Are you saying that Kiki has more blueprints on Aquila? Is it how do you say it? Aquila?
How do you want to say it? I don't know. I've been saying Aquila all this. Aquila? That sounds a bit cooler.
Sounds cooler and sexier.
All right, Aquila. It is then.
Aquila.
How's it?
A kick-ass armor, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We want it.
Yeah, I actually had, I think, all of the pieces except foot guards. So that's why I'm wondering what pieces are you... you don't have anything now, right? You can do everything except arms, is that what you're saying?
We can do everything except shins, gloves, and arms.
Oh, okay.
But basically, once we've done a few of them, those limited blueprints will run out too. So really, we can't. Really, we're just trying to satisfy people like you demanding the armor from us, and that results
in
not having any blueprints.
Yeah, get your act together, Lutius. Drop those blueprints. Something.
That's right. If they drop, we'll certainly be happy to be the ones that loot them. That would be great.
Yeah, that would be super. I'd love to have a set of that armor. It's really good.
I'd just like to sort of point out at this point in time that Kiki is a very, very good friend of ours and somebody that we have had do favors for us a fair bit in the past. He's a fantastic bloke. And generally, if we can't help people, we'll steer them in his direction. Because he's a pretty high-end crafter along with us, and vice versa. If he can't sort of supply something, then he'll sort of give us a plug. Which I'm sure, if anybody's spent some time on Planet Arcadia forum, then they will have more than once seen both him and some of our other friends sort of give us a bit of a plug when people are looking for crafted armor. So let's not sort of want to give the people the impression that there's any sort of animosity between existing between us and Kiki. I mean, it was the forum auction that's been mentioned previously in the interview, where Kiki and I sort of went head to head. It was all done in fun and good taste. And Kiki and I were actually holding a conversation in Skype as we were sort of posting, back and forth against each other in the forum. And we were having a right royal laugh at the stuff that we were doing.
Oh, you guys really made it. You guys really made it entertaining. I laughed my ass off many times. And I had so much fun following that. And what I did was the article that I wrote about it at MindStar Media, I would go in and I would put a date and I would update as time went on and where we were at or where you guys were at in the course of bidding. I mean, it was just drama unfolding as the auction progressed, and it was really very entertaining. All right, let me move along here, if you wouldn't mind. Yeah, you got something to say?
I was just going to say, it sounds like we need a showdown for Aquila. Aquila.
Aquila, yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's what'll happen. Who knows? I'll be there when it happens, though, and I'll put my bid in for a set of armor when it gets to that point that it's ready to be made as a complete set. Anyway, what was your basic strategy for growing the business? In other words, and I'm going to use that word, what dynamics did you what dynamics did you consider regarding supply and demand?
I will not hush.
I went there. I'm allowed.
You went there. That's
I'm
all
the
right, no, it's okay.
interviewer.
That's okay. You've gone there. That's okay.
All
We're
right, so
there.
now you get to answer.
I'll just interject here just for a second. Listeners, you will not hear me use that word. I refuse point blank right here and now to use that dirty word in front of you all.
What word?
What word is that, Jim?
That would be the word that you pair of both use, so I'm not going to.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. All right. So what's the answer to the question? Do you remember the question?
No, I haven't got the foggiest. What's...
I said, what was your strategy for growing the business? And what, here's the word, dynamics did you consider regarding supply and demand?
Right. Jim, do you want that one? Or?
Yeah, well... What strategy did we use? Well, in the early days, I mean, the only stuff that was available to us was the forums, the, you know, the player forums such as Entropia Forum and then later Planet Calypso Forum, and also the global advertising system within Entropia Universe. Later, it became Planet Arcadia Forum. Although you probably noticed that we don't have really too much of a an active thread presence in Planet Arcadia Forum. That's mainly because I simply haven't had time to get down and actually build a new one. Seeing as I'm actually the chief moderator there, you know, we tend to stand out somewhat anyway. But apart from that, we do use Facebook, and in recent years we have developed our own monthly newsletter, which some people will know about because they are subscribed. So those probably are the key strategies that we use externally, really, to Entropia okay. Universe. Apart from that, it's just consistent branding. In the early days, it was Fantastic that did all of our marketing signs and our branding and so forth, but obviously as time has moved on, I've taken on those responsibilities. But the graphics we use are consistent across the board. We use the same wording as much as possible across the board, so it just constantly reinforces the same brand over and over and over again to people.
Okay. Did you have anything to add, Tim?
Actually, one thing I was reminded of when Jim was talking about the different forums is those forums did come along, but what also came along was SFE Forum, or what we started to refer to as SFEF. But I guess eventually we realized that in order to actually have people bother to come there, we needed our forum to be better than the forums they already had available, which meant all of a sudden we found ourselves trying to create a forum that was better than Entropia Forum, better than Planet Calypso Forum. And then eventually we realized, hang on, we're not in the business of building forums, we're in the business of crafting and selling armor. So eventually SFEF became just our own internal communication forum. And yeah, that basically kept happening until Jim and I bought Fantastic and Hawkwing out. And now Jim and I just use Skype. It's just much easier when there's just the two of us. So we tried that with advertising. We've tried a lot of things to advertise the business over the years, but I guess the one thing we've all known, one thing we've stuck to, is that the best advertising is word of mouth. The best way, and by far the cheapest way, to get referrals, to get business, is by other people raving to people about you. Make people so happy they love you. And then they'll go and tell other people about you. And that's what we've tried to do. And I mean, that again, that comes back to reputation. So our reputation is our most important advertisement, I suppose you could say. That and our logo, which we put a lot of effort into too.
Oh, yeah. It's a great logo. How long did it take for SFE to become, I guess, consistently profitable? If you want to go there, explain what that's all about. You have consistent profit with your business.
Sure.
This is what people want to hear about.
This is what everyone wants to know.
Yeah, well, the end result, really, after putting all of this effort in and developing a business plan or a model and putting forth everything that you have in the evolution of SFE, talk about profitability.
Okay. Basically, Jim and I are sitting in a yacht in the Bahamas at the moment, drinking pina coladas.
You're full of crap.
Yeah, he's telling fibs. We're sitting in a rowing boat off Fremantle.
Throwing
Okay,
chips at the seagulls, yeah.
there you go. And the real answer?
The real answer is, it's going to sound like I'm avoiding the question, but I'm not. is that it depends how you define profit.
Okay.
And there would be many business startups that would go for quite a long time without taking a profit, so to speak. One of the things I've realized that I've learned is important over the years is cash flow. And being cash flow neutral or cash flow positive, it means you don't have to shut shop. It means you're still around. It means that the only way of failing is giving up. As long as you're there tomorrow, you can keep trying to get better. And so cash flow neutral or slightly cash flow positive has always been the aim. And so we basically built a lot of our vision around that. So we knew we had to sell our armor for what it costs to craft it. And we worked that out not based on assuming we're going to have a HOF every 20 clicks. We base it on actual crafting data. It doesn't take into account things like massive HOFs. We kind of rule them out. I figure if we get a massive HOF, which I'm still waiting for it, there's that luteus again, or even globals and things, extraordinary loots, or happen to loot a blueprint that we then don't have to pay lots of money for. That's the bit that we get to, I guess, keep. So really, I guess you could say that our business model is all about breaking even, in terms of providing a service to customers. That if we can give people armor for our best conclusion about what it's costing us to craft it in the long term, and that includes all the costs of doing that. For example, with Aquila, one of the things is that it costs 10 ped just to buy a click of the blueprint. So, there's 30 odd ped in built into the price right there because we have to pay for it. So SFE, right from the very start, was never going backwards. It was always breaking even, and we were keeping any lucky loots. And that's the way it still is. And I guess I realized that means that if we only sell 3 pieces of armor a month, then nothing's really happening. What it does mean, though, is we're as competitive as we're able to be without going backwards. So how long did it take for SFE to become consistently profitable? Basically, the first time we sold a piece of armor.
Okay.
If you think of consistently profitable as consistently breaking even, we refuse to sell for less than it costs to craft, and that means sometimes we have a couple of suits of armor that just haven't sold for years because we refuse to be a charity. That's not what we're here for. If we want to be a charity, then we make separate rational decisions about who to give our money to. But selling for less than what it costs to create the product is a recipe for bankruptcy. That was never going to work. That was never going to be sustainable. So right from the start, break even. That
Yeah,
was it.
and that makes sense.
Yep.
After additional, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the only other missing piece of the puzzle that will mean, hopefully, I haven't avoided the question, is that any profits we do take from big loots, is reinvested into the business, into building the business. So far, we basically don't make a profit. We haven't taken a profit. We reinvest. We're building the business, and that's because of our long-term vision. We're here for the long haul. We're here for when Entropia has millions of members.
Okay. That sounds like a that sounds definitely like a long-term plan. A good one. So after additional planets started moving into our universe, how did that alter your business and what approach did you take to that? You might have, we've got some overlapping content here with regard to what you've already responded to and embellished upon. And that's okay if you want to add just a little bit to that and tell us how the additional planets altered your business plan or what approach you took.
I can sort of put a bit of an answer in here. When we first heard that there was a new planet actually coming into the universe, that it wasn't just going to be Calypso, We all sort of got together and sort of talked it over and tried to find out as much information as possible from what MindArc had made available at the time, and weighed up the pros and cons of immediately expanding to this new planet that was coming. But as time actually went on and we saw how things were moving, we decided that maybe jumping into the new planet straight away wasn't probably the best idea. That we wanted to continue to establish a good base of operations on Calypso, because the reality of the time was that it was, and still to this day, is the biggest economy in the universe. So if we dived into the new one straight away and sort of neglected Calypso, it was pretty much a recipe for disaster there and then. So it comes down to the fact that as more and more planets have come in, we've really had to approach each one as a separate as a you know as a separate subject in and of itself. So the fact that we haven't got outlets on every single planet will tell you that may not actually suit what we want to do with SFE, to have a planet on each and every system. I mean, the fact that neither of us can log in, for multiple hours every day, plays a huge part in the future of SFE and what we decide to do. Because as you can imagine, it takes the best part of 3/4 of an hour just to fly from Calypso to Arcadia. So if you multiply that by the number of planets that we've currently got, and then just try and wrap your head around how long it would take just in travel time for us to actually run a business, then quite quickly you would probably arrive at the same conclusion that we did, was that having multiple shops on multiple planets just was not going to work for us.
Well, that makes sense. Speaking of shops and booth locations, I think you've already touched on that and where your shops and your booths are, et cetera. You have a website that you can give everyone so that they can check out, let's say, maybe a price list or information that might be helpful in print that people can take a look at.
If everything we've been saying here, guys, is just really confusing and it's hard to understand, that's fair enough. It's all written very logically and simply as we can at www.southernfortress.com.au. Do I need to spell that? That's pretty obvious, isn't it? Southernfortress.com.au. And there's a few links on the side that can take you through the pages. One of those pages is a price list that updates every month when we review our prices. Another page explains where all the shops are. There's information in there as well about what armors are in what shops as well. So if you're looking for something in particular, you should be able to find the answer at the website. If not, there's also a contact page there, which means you can get in touch with us, send us an email, and find out, or get hold of us in game. We're easy to look up. You know our avatar names.
Okay. What I'll also do is when I put this article together for Mindstar Media, I'll also put the link in the article itself to make it easier for people to just click on it and go to the site and then check everything out for you.
Thank you.
Sure. With regard to inventory, I think you talked a little bit about this too for the shops and the booths that you have. Do you cater to each planet specifically, or do you have a combination of armors at each of the locations, or is it just specific for that planet?
The layout for each shop does differ. As we were talking about earlier on, in the early days, the idea was that we were going to put our sort of our lower level gear at Port Atlantis and our upper level and boutique stuff at Twin Peaks. But of course, when we expanded to Arcadia and we had this whole other range of armors suddenly appear in our system, we had to sort of look at what we were going to do with this massive range that we were building up. We found that through, a fair bit of research, that Arcadian Armor sells quite well on Calypso, but not the other way around. So as a consequence, we've got our Arcadian Armors available at our Port Atlantis shop,
Okay.
but only our Arcadian range stuff available on Arcadia. But of course,
Okay.
there's always, there's always the option of contacting us, as Tim mentioned before, and saying, "Look, I'm on Arcadia. I want this particular armor because of whatever reason. Can you deliver it?" And we have no issues with that whatsoever.
Oh, okay. But that's good to know.
Unless it's Aquila. Aquila.
I'm not going to stop bugging you guys about that, but of course you can't do anything until you have the blueprints and the materials. I understand. It's okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. What are your future plans with regard to growing the business? Anything in particular?
Sure,
Well,
I
my
guess. Oh,
sorry, go
you want
ahead.
to get? Okay. Well, I was just going to add to what you were saying about the different planets, Jim.
Oh,
Did
okay.
you? Yeah. Okay. With regard to growing the business, I guess as Jim said, it's a separate challenge on each planet to work out what to do. And it's not just on each planet, it's what do you sell where? For example, when Arcadia came along, we quickly decided this is a range of armor we want to stock. This is a range that makes sense, that we can understand, and that we can sell. So let's go after it. And the first thing I guess that meant is putting a shop on Arcadia, and then pretty shortly afterwards it meant putting a second shop on Arcadia. And then we decided, well, why not sell this stuff on Calypso as well? And the first answer to that is because our shops are full of Calypso stuff. But we threw a bit of it in there, and it started selling quite well. So we've started to move some of the less popular Calypso armors out and kind of replace them with Arcadian armors. Our long-term vision in every shop is for them to be so full of shopkeepers that that's not a problem. But shopkeepers are expensive, and
Yeah.
I guess the number of shopkeepers we have is a bit of a gauge of how we're going. When you see us put up another shopkeeper, that means we've just had a couple of good loots and we can finally afford another one. So I guess in terms of future plans to expand the business, we try to be ready for opportunities. And when a planet comes along that looks like precisely the sort of thing that would be great to set up a business on, and that's a, I can't just outline exactly what that takes in 5 seconds. It's pretty complicated, and it's a matter of assessing it for on its merits at the time. If and when that happens again, well, we will have done our best to be ready for it. So future plans are really, I think we both still enjoy doing what we've been doing, and we plan to keep doing that. And as things change, we plan to keep moving with it. Ideally, down the track in the long term, we're crafting so much to supply so much armor that we're actually starting to make a bit of money out of all these globals and hops because we're getting so many of them. So yeah, so far I guess it hasn't really been part of the plan to reach that point, part of the near-term plan to reach that point. It's about setting ourselves up to be ready for opportunities. And I guess when we knew Arcadia was coming up, we made sure we were setting ourselves up for that opportunity because it looks promising, and we've established ourselves. So hopefully we could repeat that situation next time a planet comes along that we think we could do that with.
Excellent. I know that you publish a monthly armor price guide newsletter, and I am a subscriber. How large is your subscriber list right now? And how can people actually sign up to receive it?
Right, well, at last check, I think we had 39 or 40 subscribers. Which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you take into account that those 39 or 40 people then talk to, at least half a dozen other people, you quickly sort of realize how big a network is established. I mean, obviously, the more people we have subscribing, the better. It gets that much more information out that much quicker. But if people are interested, and we'd love to have you subscribe to the newsletter, it sort of makes it a bit more bit more fulfilling for us to put the newsletter together every month because we try to work a little bit of humor into stuff. You can sign up at the website, which Tim mentioned before, is www.southernfortress.com.au, and there's a sign up page there on the main page of the website. So, by all means, jump in, sign up, and keep an eye open for the new newsletter in the beginning of the next month.
Yeah,
West.
I enjoy getting the newsletter because it's a great thing that you're doing because it really gives you a heads up as to what the pricing is on the armors that are available. So that's really a good thing. I would really highly recommend that people do that.
Yeah, we do put a bit of effort into making sure it's worth reading, you know, and it's the best way to keep up with th how things are changing as well. We use it as our primary way of communicating things like we now have the full set of unlimited Aquila blueprints. You would be the first to hear it, probably, if you were subscribed to our newsletter, which you
Yes.
are, Mindstar. That's exactly why.
No, I expect to get a Skype message or something. MS9, guess what?
I think you will. I think you will.
you guys are
That's the
just
only
you guys are so awesome.
other way to find out things even sooner. Just yeah, be our best mate, and then be talking to us, and then you'll find out stuff as well, you know.
Yeah, privileges, I'll tell you, friendship privileges. All
That's
right,
it.
guys.
That's it.
Here's the last question, and it's a biggie. What advice would you give to those interested in starting a business within EU?
Do you want me to go first here, Tim?
Yeah, you go first. I'll add anything in that I feel like adding in.
Okie dokes. Well, first and foremost, plan it out. Plan it out first. Do your research. Find out what it is the community needs and work out whether you can actually make a position for yourself in supplying that to the community. Can you easily obtain the materials, the blueprints that you need at a cost that makes the product at the other end acceptable to the clientele base that you're trying to sell it to? Is the cost of craft versus the availability versus the service to the community worthwhile against the money that you're getting back at the end? But overall, really, when you grind everything down to to the brass tacks, the most important thing through anything to do with this is that if you're not having fun doing it, then it's not worth putting in the time and the effort to do it. So that would be probably the one big thing I would say to people. If you're serious about going into business, whether it be in EU or in real life, if you're not going to enjoy what you're doing and you're not going to have fun doing it and you're going to end up having arguments and just falling out with people and it's going to ruin your life, your relationships, whatever. If you're not having fun, then don't bother doing it. It's just not worth putting the time and effort in if you're not going to get the reward in fun, really.
Damn straight, Jim.
One second, Tim. I think I need to interject here. It's funny you should talk about planning and planning it out first. It's so key and so important. I have to laugh because this morning as I was making my coffee, I had a fortune cookie there. I cracked open the fortune cookie and it says, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I
Oh,
mean,
that's a
how,
beauty.
yeah, how appropriate is that? After he said that, I said, oh God, I got to read that. Tim, you have something you'd like to add to that, please?
Yeah, well, I mean, I couldn't agree with Jim more. For a particular type of business model like ours, where you are crafting something in Entropia and making it available to people, I guess, yeah, he's right. What we've seen time after time is people start shops and they forget the critical ingredient of making sure you have value to people. And as a result, you don't have value to people, and then you end up shutting a shop. And one of the things that's remarkable about Entropia, one of the reasons I have been thoroughly engaged and committed to it for almost 7 years now, six years, 7 years, I can't even count anymore. It's been so long, I've forgotten how to count. Is because it's so much like real life. In real life, if you start a business and have no value to anybody, then no one's going to buy your stuff and you're going to have to shut shop again. It's just the same in here. But again, just like real life, there are so many opportunities, so many different ways to have value, and you can just create your own value out of thin air if you think of something interesting. So I guess Jim's advice about planning it out, doing your research first, and making sure it's going to work is key. But I guess starting a business in EU, how to do it is really dependent on what sort of business you want to start. For example, you could be a field medic, right? So you just get a FAP and you go and FAP people. And there's actually a few good examples of this on the various forums of people advertising their services. And some people every now and then get a post saying, this service is absolutely fantastic. And you can guarantee that person had a great time, was happy to pay whatever the charge was. And in fact, that charge would have been part of concluding that it was a reasonable service. And the customer and both the customer and the seller, the medic, win out of that arrangement. So I think it's important in business to make sure you find a win-win. You can't just expect to sell something for any good amount of money, because that's not going to work because no one's going to buy it. And by the same token, if you sell cheap, someone might get a good deal out of you and then you go bankrupt. So it really depends. And that's like real life as well. It's not, it's very rare that someone can just create a business and just get it all right and just make millions of dollars and it all works. And I mean, I admire people that can do that and I wish I was more like them and I try to be like them. But just like real life, in Entropia, when you create a business, you need to create value and you need to be able to deliver some kind of a service, whether that service be punctuality, whether that service be having really awesome skills so people need your help, having a rare blueprint, knowing what to hunt and when to hunt it, being able to find a particular resource that nobody else can access. It's just so many different things, and that's just like real life. If you come up with a good idea and you come up with a way of being valuable to people, then people are going to value you, and that means you're going to be able to charge a fee for that. Mm-hmm. And then you can stay around and grow.
Excellent advice. Well, guys, I think that's all I have for you, unless you have something else you'd like to add before we conclude this interview. Oh, wait, I do have one more thing. A request for Jim.
Tim, I am going to kill you.
No, there will be no homicides up in here.
There will be no death.
Yeah, no, not at all. Although I'm not going to be responsible for what the result is here. Jim, I have a request. If you would, please say the following in an Aussie accent.
Crikey, you mongrel.
No, listen. Listen up. Crikey, mate. Where's me friggin' akubra? I need to get out there and throw some prawns on the Barbie for the Sheila.
Oh, God, blimey. You're not expecting me to say all that.
That's actually just funny with your accent in this, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was far more entertaining.
No, it won't be, actually.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I think Tim probably had that planned for me rather than you, you booger.
No, that's actually a happy coincidence. I'm not sure if it's going to be funny when Jim does it, because you will do it, Jim. You know you will. For me, and I think it's because I'm an Australian, Jim, with his slightly Welsh Australian accent, is very easily understandable. But when he actually puts on a real Australian accent, as an Australian, I find that hilarious. I don't know if anyone else will find it hilarious, but hopefully any other Aussies out there that are listening to this will have a bit of a giggle. So you might just want to give him the line again, MS9.
I think what I'm going to do is let me copy it. I'll copy and let me... if you look down below, I'll post it down below and you can read from there. There you go, darling. Right down below.
All right, hang on. Let me get my glasses on so I can see what I'm reading.
Read it without because it might come out even funnier.
Oh, God, blimey. You mongrel, Tim, I'm gonna get you for this.
Oh, come on.
It'll Crikey, be totally
mate,
worth
where's
it.
Me freaking a cobra? I need to get out of there and throw some prawns on the barbie for the Sheila.
You're right, Tim. I think I did better.
That's because I can't stop laughing. You number, I'm going to get you for this.
It's hysterical. You know what? I think Tim wanted to discuss the merits of prawns and shrimps. That's what it is.
I thought it might raise the issue, yeah. Well, you're so good at saying it, Jim. Why don't you discuss? Here we go. Discuss the differences between prawns and shrimps from your Australian context. It's a serious question. What?
Do we have enough time for this? I don't want this interview to be 3 hours long.
we don't have to. It could make good forum fodder, I suppose.
I don't know about.
Well, make it a Reader's Digest condensed version. Ready, set, go.
He's totally been put on the spot. He's got no idea what to say.
I've got absolutely no idea what to say.
Look, I just think it's funny.
The difference between prawns and shrimps.
Look, sorry, I've probably set it up wrong. I guess it's just, I think Americans seem to have this perception that we say shrimp, and they tell us to put a shrimp on the barbie. Put another shrimp on the barbie. Yeah, well, you're probably better off if you say it MS9, then I guess we'll get... Can you say that? Can you say put another shrimp on the barbie?
No.
The shoe is on the other foot now, isn't it?
But we don't do that.
Put another shrimp on the barbie? No, see? Yeah, I guess. Because there's really no S in shrimp. Shrimps, you don't say shrimp. Shrimp in itself is plural.
Aussies are true.
Wacko.
But we don't do that at all. We don't deal in shrimp whatsoever. I'm pretty sure I've never eaten a shrimp in my life. They're tiny.
Oh, yeah. We've got jumbo shrimp coming right out of the Gulf.
They're prawns. Pretty sure you'll find they're prawns.
Yeah, probably tiger prawns.
Yep.
Huh?
Yeah. I thought about shrimp, but I know somebody's going to get the raw prawn off me later.
Nice comeback.
All right, you guys, I'm going to wrap this up. You guys are crazy. Right. You're so funny. Right. All right, I want to thank both of you for hanging out with me today and providing some really valuable information based on your EU experiences with creating a business, as well as what has transpired thus far in the evolution of your business, which is, of course, Southern Fortress Engineering and your armor crafting. And as far as the rest of the stuff, I'm not so sure what the value of all of that was, but I'm sure there'll be something there. Anything you want to add to that? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's been a privilege. It's been a long time coming. We've known each other for ages, and it's about time we had a good old chat, and it's been great. And I think the service you bring to Entropy Universe MS9 is stellar and unmatched by anybody else. Not even, no one I'm aware of comes even close. You are a class of your own. And so it's a privilege to be on your radio show, to be interviewed. I'm just really happy to have had the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. I really appreciate that. Anything you'd like to say, Jim?
Probably
not after we pulled that.
Whatever it is, say it.
Well,
with
it's funny. It's bugger off.
Keep it clean, guys.
Yeah. I can only echo what Tim has said. It's a real big personal bonus for me to have been invited to do to do this interview with you. I remember actually reading your weekly Who's Who back when it was published on Entropia Forum, and actually thinking to myself, wow, one day I'd like to be sort of, you know, famous enough in Entropia Universe to actually get one of those myself. And well, today, you know, that sort of thing has come true for me. Mm-hmm. And as Tim said, you are in a class of your own. The service you provide to the universe is second to none. And it really has been an honor and a privilege being here with you today, and actually being able to call you a friend as well. It's been absolute pleasure. Just getting to talk to you on Skype, but you know, at times, and it's been good fun doing this. You know, regardless of what some people may or may not have tried to pull, but don't worry, they will be duly punished.
Can't wait. Yep, totally worth it.
Yeah, totally worth it. I have no doubt whatsoever.
Just remember that I am also the wielder of the banhammer.
yeah, this is true. Do not touch the MSM section at that forum. There will be purple hell
would
to pay.
Would I do a thing like that?
Not as you, no.
No, not in your lifetime, you would not.
No. But it's been a real privilege, and I can only say thank you for the time and effort that you've put in and continue to put in for our own little virtual universe. And hopefully it'll go on for many years to come.
Well, that is the plan. It may be slow going because staff is very minimal right now, but it's something that I've done in the universe for, I'm creeping up on 8 years now, after the first of the year, a couple of months after the first of the year, April 2nd, actually. And writing is my greatest passion. And I love Entropia Universe and what the possibilities are and what it presents as possibilities, and unlimited, or limited rather, only by your own thought process, I guess, your own level of creativity. And you guys are a perfect example with Southern Fortress Engineering of what possibilities are. And one of the things that I love to continue to do is bring a who's who at various levels, whether it's a player, whether it's a society, or whether it's an official out there in the universe someplace, bring that information and those personalities to the community so that they know who's who and what's out there. And my major goal over the years has always been community building, connecting people so that they know what's available and they can help each other out and be of service to each other. And you guys provide an exceptional service in that respect. And yes, I've known you guys for years and I love you dearly as friends. And I'm really, really happy and proud also to be able to present you as a who's who to the community. So I wish you the best of success in your continuing evolution with Southern Fortress Engineering. And I'm sure you guys will be around a long time too. MindStar Media will be around for a long time. It's slow right now, but I'm doing as much as I can, getting it out there as quickly as I can. I actually have several articles I'm working on, and hopefully I can get this one out there very quickly as well. So thank you guys as well. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah. We will be there to support you in fulfilling your vision as well. We'll be there. We're here for the long haul too. So.
Thank you. And you guys. You guys have been there all along over the years, and I can't thank you enough for that. All right, until next time, Entropia, this is MindStar 9, inviting you to stay tuned to MindStarMedia.com for the latest Entropia news and your connection to who's who.